Okay, good evening, and welcome to Fortnight, a ministry of Texas House of Prayer, located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. And we welcome you, and we are so thankful to the Lord for you joining with us in this service tonight, this teaching that I believe will be a blessing to you. That's my prayer, anyway, that it be a blessing to you. And before I get into the Word, I just want to say, first of all, thank you to the guys and ladies that make this happen, Dustin and Jason, Susan, doing the on and off last week with a lens for the projector. That was an awesome job. And then Andrew and Jacinda being here every week, and every now and then others will pop in. We don't have much of a crowd here on Fortnight service because I've asked everybody to only come if you have the time and you want to be here. Otherwise, just listen to it at home as it's streaming or later on during the week, but make sure that you avail yourself of the message. And so doesn't break my heart one bit that everybody or most everybody is taking the opportunity to listen to it at home. But we do hope that this message goes forth and is a blessing to everybody that hears it. So if you will, turn with me. One more thing. I just want to say Susan and I celebrated our 42nd wedding anniversary on Friday of this past week. And I'm just as amazed as anybody that she stuck with me for 42 years. I told her when we were first getting married, I said, I hope you know you're getting a real good deal. I still think it's the case, but perhaps not as good as it was when we first got started. But I'm so thankful that she decided to ask me to marry her those 42 years ago and that I was wise enough to say yes. So and we had a wonderful anniversary, and I'm just so thankful to the Lord for all that He's provided to me through Susan. She is, people say, the love of my life. That's too shallow for what she is. She is the love of my life, but she is God's method of support and just brings so much to me that I would absolutely be nothing without her. And I'm thankful. So thank you, darling. Looking forward to not 42 more, but as close as we can get to it. Absolutely. Okay, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 23. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. I was thinking about wrapping up some of these things that have been on my heart that I've been sharing in these fortnight services and bringing those things that have been weighing on my heart heavily to a close and then starting something new, which will be a series on the family. And I still plan on doing that. I had kind of three main points I wanted to get across in this message. Then I realized those three main points would take about 3 days, and I thought that was just a little bit excessive for this one time. So I'll have to wait and see what the Lord says, but I'm only going to approach or attempt to talk about one of these main points tonight. And this, again, is in line with wrapping up some of the things that the Lord has laid on my heart and it's really important for me to get across, to have it said and also heard. So Mark chapter 4, beginning verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed, or to be careful what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and to him, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. The title of my message to you tonight is Be Careful, Little Ears, What You Hear. In fact, I love the children and their participation in a normal Sunday morning service here at Texas House of Prayer. There are a ton of children, and they are not bashful in singing praises to the Lord, and it blesses my heart every time they do. Sometimes they get slightly carried away, but it's more of a joyous thing than anything, and I'm excited about that. But if they were here, then they could help me in this little song, and I hope most of them know it. But if you know it, then sing along. And if your children are in bed, go get them up. Go wake them up and bring them in. David Letterman used to say that. Used to crack me up every time. Go wake up the children. I want the children that are there to join with me in this song if they know it. If not, then learn it, and then you'll be able to join a little bit later on. But it goes something like this. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Okay, there's other parts to it too. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. But today we're going to be talking about be careful, little ears, what you hear. And big ears also. First of all, we need to know that we need to have ears to hear. He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord expects us to have hearing ears. He expects us to use our ears for their intended purpose. And their intended purpose is not to keep your glasses from sliding down your face or to keep your hat from falling down over your eyes. Your ears are there to be used in order to hear. And I like the saying that I heard a long time ago, and it's stuck with me ever since. The Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. That means we should be listening twice as much as what we speak. And that's a lot more difficult for some than others, I can guarantee you. It's very easy for me at home. You may not believe this because of all the speaking I do when I preach, but at home, I'm the quiet one. And that makes Susan the opposite of that. But we have ears that are given to us to hear. That's their intended purpose. And it's important. I'm going to give you 3 points tonight, all on this subject of be careful, little ears, what you hear. And the first point is, it is important that you hear. It is important that you hear. God gave us these ears for a reason. We need to use them. God expects us to use our ears for their intended purpose. The Bible is full of admonitions to us to hear and also strong rebukes to those who do not or will not hear. We just read in Mark chapter 4, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's just one of many when Jesus says that saying in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm only choosing some of the scriptures. There are many, many, many that are available to make this point. In fact, if you look up and do a word search on hearing, on hearkening, and all the different terms that go along with hearing and listening, you'll find that the Bible has a lot to say about it. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's repeated several times as the Lord Jesus was speaking to the churches in Asia, as recorded in Revelation. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear. What do we have ears for? To hear. Yet they hear not, for they are a rebellious house. The Lord is expecting us to use the ears that He's given us to hear. Not to ignore, not to do with them what we want to do, but to hear. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. It is a rebellious thing, the Bible says to us, when we fail or choose not to listen, choose not to hear what God is saying. Remember, this first point is be careful that you hear. Be careful that you not switched off and turned off, that you're choosing to selectively hear only what you want to hear. And that's one of the problems that people have in life, is they feel like it's their prerogative to listen to what they want to listen to hear what they want to listen to and who they want to listen to, and ignore everything else. So if God says something that they don't want to hear, that part is switched off. They don't hear that. If anybody sent of God tells them something that they don't want to hear, they shut down. They turn it off. But we need to have our ears on. Back during the days before cell phones, one of the things that became really big to communicate with people as you were going, doing all your nonsense, I know some people used it for good purposes. Many of us teenagers were out cutting up and doing wrong things and using these CB radios. And one of the things you would say is, have you got your ears on? And you're asking somebody, are they listening? Well, we as Christians need to have our spiritual ears on. You know, children have a problem sometimes with listening. Those of you who are parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They start off not listening because they may be distracted or not interested. They really believe that you have something worth saying. It's just whatever they're thinking or they're looking at or whatever the little mind is focused on is just a little bit more important than what mama or daddy has to say. But they really believe you have something to say. So the first of all, they're distracted or not interested. Then once they start to grow, they think that they know better. They get to a place where mama and daddy used to have lots of interesting things to talk about and say to me and pass on to me, but the older I get, the dumber they get. And many young people have that idea about things, and they stop listening because their friends at school are so much wiser than old-fashioned mom and dad, who grew up in some sort of intellectual vacuum and somehow arrived at their place in life not knowing anything. How in the world are they still alive, because they are as dumb as a bag of hammers? And that's how young people began to look at their parents. And so they begin to switch off because what mom and dad have to say has no relevance to somebody living in my world. They wouldn't understand. They haven't felt things like this before. They don't know why they got married. I don't know. They don't know a thing about love. They don't know a thing about life. They're just there. What's in their head ends up being better than what's in yours. You, as a parent or as an older person, are obsolete. You're no longer needed. And let me just tell you, that is a very hurtful place to be in life, especially if it's the desire of your heart to pass along this wealth of knowledge. And believe me, young people, there is a wealth of knowledge in what you think is an empty head. There's a lot there. There's a lot going on. And I know a little bit more than what you think I know. My wife knows a whole lot more than what you think she knows. She's not just a pretty face. We have lived a lot of years. We have seen a lot of things. And we've not only experienced things in our own life, but we've seen other people experience, and we've helped talk other people through things and help people with the issues of their life. We know a lot more than what you think, but children seem to have this idea that because they're coming into it for the first time for them, that it must be the first time for everybody. But Christians that are growing up in the things of God are very much like children, because when they're very young in the Lord, they really believe that the ones that are older in the Lord do have something to share. But the farther along they go, and the more they're able to think and reason for themselves, and the more they hear other people talking from other different sources, all of a sudden, the people that have been put in their lives for a reason are no longer needed. They become obsolete. But you know, hearing is something that you do on purpose. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You have to put an effort towards it. Hearing has an attitude and a posture. Do you know you hear with an attitude? You either hear with open eyes, open ears, open heart, and it's expressed as such. I'm hanging on every word. You can tell when somebody is hanging on every word and when somebody has cut you off and tuned you out. There's an attitude behind it, and there's a posture that goes with it. And you parents, again, know what I'm talking about when you're talking to children. A child that's sitting there, head turned, arms crossed, looking the other way, thinking, my body's here, but my brain is somewhere else. It is a shame that that same childishness is a part of some grown-up's behavior. Hearing is something that we do because of an internal desire. But hearing is also something that we do because we have been asked to do it or told to do so. We are commanded to hear. We think the only legitimate reason for us to hear is because we really, really, really want to. But that is not the only legitimate reason to hear just because you want to. It's good when you want to hear the right thing, but sometimes even when you don't want to, it is still the right thing to do to hear. And some of the hardest thing to hear is something that is critical towards you, something that causes you to stop and think and reevaluate and perhaps come to the place of saying, I'm wrong. It is important that we understand that we are to hear. We are to be careful that we hear. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 4 and 5. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is where some of the disciples were Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that wonderful thing happened and the heavens opened, Peter said, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, speaking of Jesus, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear him. Peter was good at talking. The Lord was saying, Peter, listen. And that's typically what begins to happen with people who begin to grow up in life and stop listening so much. They feel like their mission in life is to tell you what they know. They have stopped learning and they want to instruct you on everything. It sounds like I know what I'm talking about here. Perhaps I've been face-to-face with this a few times. But it's true. It's true in family setting. It's true in church setting. It's true all over the place. There comes a place where if you're not careful, you think you have outgrown those who God has placed in your life to help you out, and you stop being a hearer. Some people have outgrown God. He's outdated, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. There's the word of the Lord, and then there's what society, people my age are telling me, my generation. And people are putting a lot of weight to what they hear, what they read on social media, what the world and society and everybody else is telling them. And surely this old book that these old fuddy-duddies are believing in, surely it must be wrong. There used to be a thing that said something like 20 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. You know, throw numbers at it and it makes it right. It doesn't matter how wrong it is, but if enough people are saying it's right, it's right. I remember when I was in school, I was in the seventh grade, and I had an eighth grade girl who liked me. And I thought, I can't believe this. She's pretty. She's older than me. I can't believe how lucky I am. You know, and I started hanging out with her and walking down the hall with her. And at football practice one day, some of the guys on the team my age saying, is that ugly girl your girlfriend? And all of a sudden, I never saw her that way. I thought she was pretty. But I thought, if they think she's ugly, she must be ugly. I said, no, she's not my girlfriend. She likes me, but I don't like her. And all of a sudden, everything about me turned off on her because of everything everybody else was saying. So this is a situation where you're hearing, but you're hearing perhaps the wrong thing. And you're choosing to hear something and believing it to be true just because many people are saying it. Listening is the foundation of biblical obedience and submission. Are you listening? Listening is the foundation of biblical obedience and submission. We're going to concentrate mainly on the importance of hearing God, not hearing other things that are contrary to God, hearing Him and submitting to Him and to those that He sends on His behalf. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them which has the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, for they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." By the way, this is in the Word of God. I didn't write that. I didn't make it up. But he says, obey. The writers of Hebrews says, obey them that have the rule over you. That word obey means, from the Greek, means to be persuaded or to be convinced by an argument. How do you become persuaded? By listening and submit yourselves. That word submit means to yield, to give way, or to become weak in respect to the other person. If we refuse to hear, then we cannot be persuaded, and we will not give way or be submissive. Unfortunately, this is the condition of many deceived people today, that they will not allow themselves to be persuaded. They will not allow themselves to be convinced because they will not hear. When it's contrary to what they have fixed in their head, rather than hearing because someone is speaking, God is speaking and He should know, one of His servants is speaking and he should know, they just automatically tune it out. You know, it is honoring to those in spiritual authority when you hear them. It is honoring to them when you hear. Forget agreeing at this point. That will come by first hearing and allowing yourself to be persuaded by a sound biblical argument. But you first have to hear. If you shut it off before it ever gets started, it is not honoring, it's dishonoring. It is important that we hear. Secondly, it's important what we hear. First of all, let me just give you a few points of what not to hear. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4 says, "A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue." You can listen to things that you shouldn't ought to be listening to. You can give place to people saying things. Their heart's not right. Their wickedness is going to affect you just by you listening to what they have to say. Sometimes it's better to walk out of a room. If you don't have the relationship or the authority in a work world or whatever, if you cannot stand up and say, "I disagree," then the next best thing is to walk out and at least not let it come into you. It's like one guy said, "These are ears, not trash cans." You know, I'm not going to sit here and let you throw your garbage into my brain. Put the lid on your ears. Some things you just don't need to be listening to. Isaiah chapter 33, 15 and 16. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressors, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of deference shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure." You'll be blessed if you stop your ears from hearing of wrong things. Turn off things that defile you. You don't have to listen to news if it's going to upset you and cause you grief and cause you to worry. I'm not saying be an ostrich and put your head in the sand. I'm not saying don't be aware of what's going on, but there's being aware and then there's being immersed. And sometimes you just need to shut stuff off that's going to bother you. If it's going to keep you up at night, you're not going to sleep, or if it's going to make you go to bed kind of in troubled, or if it's going to cause you to have a wrong slant on your life and how you live it, ask yourself, does knowing all that difficult stuff help me to live my life tomorrow? Is it going to help me get through today? Is it going to help me love my husband better, my wife better, my children better, my parents better? Is it going to help me be a better employee? If not, then don't immerse yourself in it. You don't need it. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. That's what you should be listening to. So what to hear? Remember, we talked about it's important that we hear. Now we're talking about it's important what we hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word," Paul's telling Timothy. "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." The time will come when people will stop listening, shut off their ears, not to wrong things, but to good things, to godly things, to God's things. They will shut off their ears to sound doctrine. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears." They're listening to something, and everybody who shuts off one thing is going to listen to something else. You're not going to not listen. It's what you choose to listen to. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." You're either going to be listening to truth or you're going to be listening to fables from untruths. Now, this is important that we get this. And as I started looking into it, I was so blessed by the study as I got into it. This phrase, sound doctrine, the word sound comes from a Greek word which means wholesome, complete, or producing good health, good spiritual health. Doctrine is teaching. We should be listening to doctrine which produces good spiritual health in us. And what is sound doctrine? It's not necessarily just what we want to hear. That was the problem with these people who have itching ears, have turned away from sound doctrine unto fables. Remember, they're hearing things, and they're hearing things in a spiritual context. They're hearing things at church. In Paul's day, if he would have been in today, they would have been hearing things online. They would have been hearing things on Facebook. They would have been hearing things on YouTube. They would have been hearing things from others. They were hearing things from others. But it wasn't truth, and it wasn't sound doctrine. And it's interesting as we get into this, what we find out is sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, that word wholesome words means sound, it's the same word as sound doctrine. Wholesome words, again, is sound doctrine. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Sound doctrine is a doctrine according to godliness. Some people don't want to hear all the time what's right and what's wrong, even though people are stumbling over things every day, all day. That was one of the points that I wanted to get to in those three points that I'm not going to get into. And that is what we talked about before, is one of the main things that is a sign of the end time and also a thing that keeps us from being effective is when people fail to live a godly life. It destroys our witness. He is proud, this person who doesn't want to consent or listen to wholesome words. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. We're beginning to see a picture of what wholesome words or sound doctrine is. It is, don't live that kind of life that drags you towards destruction. Titus chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Once again, speak things that are sound doctrine. Say these things because I want people to hear these things. People need to hear the right thing. Speak sound doctrine. That the aged man become sober. This is sound doctrine. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What is sound doctrine? It is teaching people how to live a godly life, to shun the things that will cause the word of God to be blasphemed, to cause their life to be of none effect. Unfortunately, and I know in some circles, Christian circles, this isn't heard of, but in other Christian circles, particularly in some of the more charismatic circles, a lot of the teaching that is touted and presented and sought after and chased after and people pour into it is having someone teach them how to prophesy. Prophesying isn't a taught gift. It is a ministry gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't teach somebody how to prophesy. You can teach somebody how to better hear the Lord. You cannot teach somebody how to prophesy. You can't teach somebody how to interpret dreams. That is a gift from God, and yet they have classes where people are being taught how to interpret dreams. Brothers and sisters, that is not sound doctrine. That sounds more like some of these fables that are being believed. That sounds like some of the silliness that is going on. But sound doctrine is telling people not to give place to these things that will cause your witness to be void. Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 7, "For a bishop or an elder must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions, whose mouths must be stopped to subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." An elder, a bishop, an overseer in the house of God should be spending his time teaching those under his authority how to live a godly life, how to see the fake from the true, how to distinguish what is of God and what isn't, and how to be true to your calling. In fact, as I look through the Scriptures, I have never once seen anything that is written in the New Testament where there is any emphasis put on learning how to prophesy, learning how to interpret dreams, learning how to speak in tongues. These are all gifts of God. We need to spend time with people. We need to help them understand the Word of God surrounding them, those things, and what emphasis we ought to place on that. There's plenty of things to be taught, but not how to do it. The Lord expects us not only to hear Him and His Word, but also those who He sends to us. And He expects others to hear us when He sends us to them. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet." This is how important it is that we hear God and hear those who He sends to us. God's not playing around. If He sends someone to speak to us, then we need to listen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Yes, even your own parents, when you're a child in the home, when you're still under their authority, it is important that you realize that God will speak to you through your godly mother and father. It is important that you act out what you hear. This is point number 3. Remember, we talked about it's important that we hear, it's important what we hear, and thirdly now, it's important that we act on what we hear. What you hear should determine what you do and ultimately who you are. James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So it goes from just being a hearer, someone who casually hears, to someone who hears because they want to know how to act, how to behave, how to please God, how to not cause offense, how to not cause the Word of God to be blasphemed, how to be effective in our walk in the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 3, "Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it or to keep it or to do it. Hear it and do it. It'll go well with you if you hear and do. Mark chapter 4, we started off with this scripture as our foundational text. 4 and verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed or be careful what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. There's an increase that comes when you are diligent to, first of all, hear and to apply what you hear. You're going to get more. God's going to entrust you with more. But for those who have not received more in a long time, perhaps He's waiting on you to act on the last thing He showed you. In verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and to he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Your ability, once again, listen to me. People that love you will say, listen to me. I want you to hear what I have to say because I believe I'm speaking from the Lord. I want people to hear me. Sometimes it seems like maybe that's too important to me, but you know what? I know if they hear me and if I'm speaking the word of the Lord, they're hearing the word of God. And I know just like those that He sent out, if they shut me off, if I'm speaking the word of the Lord, they're shutting Him off. And people will not be blessed by doing that. But your ability to succeed tomorrow is directly dependent upon what you do with what you hear today. Your ability to succeed tomorrow is directly dependent upon what you do with what you hear today. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm getting ready to close. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise man will hear, not shut down, not turn off, not go and hear, but hear something that is not sound doctrine. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. I don't know about you, but I want to increase, and I want to increase in godliness. I want to increase in my understanding of the Lord and His ways. I want to increase in my effectiveness in this earth. I don't want to spend the last years of my life spinning my wheels. I pray frequently, not every day, not all the time, but I pray frequently, Lord, if I'm done, take me home. There's nothing I want to live for. There's no mountain I want to see, no river I want to see. There's no fish I want to catch or deer I want to kill. There's no anything in this life that's worth staying here for if the life of God isn't going to be effective through me. But I want to encourage you. My effectiveness is partly due to my ability to hear the Lord and to make changes in my life as I do. And then to speak forth what He has me to speak. But my effectiveness is not totally dependent upon me speaking. People have to have ears to hear. Let me just read this to you from Jeremiah chapter 26. The Lord speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. In verse 4, and thou shalt say unto them, this is to the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I send unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. You know, for a prophet to be an effective prophet was not only that he heard from the Lord, but that the people heard from him. I challenge you today, be people that hear, that's important to you, that you hear. Be people that's important to you, what you hear. And be people that it's important to you that you act on what you hear. That what you hear the Lord say, you do. Be careful, little ears, that you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, child of God, that you hear what He says and do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight. I thank You for You once again speaking to me. Lord, if nobody else hears, Lord, I thank You that You spoke to me, and Lord, at least some of it I got. I have a heart, Lord, where I want to hear, and I pray, Lord, that Your people would be more and more and more, more a people that have ears to hear, that have ears that hear, that have ears, they know what to hear, and Lord, that we do what we hear. Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Continue to speak. Lord, we don't want to have silence. We want to have, in this world where there's so many voices out there clamoring for our attention, Lord, I pray that we can shut that off and listen to what You're saying. Lord, give us ears to hear what You're saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we done?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Bless you. You know what I'm going to do, Andrew? I'm going to take this off.